Today in the Locked On Sabres podcast, a couple of Sabre things, but kind of a bonus show, Bills and Patriots. We'll talk some football today.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin coming to you on a Saturday morning. Kind of a bonus show today. I've got a platform to talk Bills throughout the week. I kind of wanted to give Jordan this opportunity to talk about Bills-Patriots before the game on Saturday night. So we'll do that. But I do got some hockey things in store for us as well today on the show. As always, be sure to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan's at JR Hanskin. And the podcast account is at Locked On Sabres. First question on the football game before we get back to hockey and then back to the actual football game. If you were going to this game tonight, what's your clothing layout look like? How many layers are you wearing?
Okay, so I found like for 30 degree games, I found like a really good like clothing out like setup. So I have a pair of shorts, sweatpants. Then I wear my Zubas over the sweatpants because the Zubas are like really big, and so that's like that. And then I have four layers. Usually I have a t-shirt, long sleeve tee, hoodie, and then a coat.
Okay.
And then I have two or three, probably today would be three pairs of socks.
Yeah, it's going to be 5 degrees, negative wind chills.
Yeah. Three pairs of socks and then the boots and then the winter hat. And I would wear my mask the whole time. Usually, I mean, it's everybody's vaccinated in there and like all that, but like I would wear the mask the whole time just for the cold.
Right.
it's convenient. It's a convenience thing for me.
For that. There's no wind. That's good. That's good for this game and anybody that's going to be in attendance, because I just stepped outside and I'll check the weather right now real quick. I think it's in the single digits already, right now. And it is, 7 degrees, real feel -6. And I just stepped outside with just a hoodie on. I just had to move my car, the winter hat, hoodie, sweatpants, and that was it. And I'm going to move my car. Hold on real quick. Dog is getting in the way of the microphone cord here. Just got to get him out of the way here. Come on, Finn. Finn, we're all tangled. Go ahead.
I was about to say, I was like, you seem pretty bundled up. Is it already that bad?
Yeah, no, it's not like that bad inside. But I did just come from outside and like, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because there was no wind. That was the point I was getting to there. There was no wind. And it just being like a standstill outside, and it's just the cold, but no wind chill, it like wasn't as bad as I thought. Then you're out in it for like 3 minutes, like 2-3 minutes, and it's like, okay, no, this is cold. So you might feel it just sitting out there in it, but if you're just walking around outside, yeah, it's not as bad because with there being no wind.
I mean, I think the players, they're going to be fine. Like, half of them are going to have short sleeves on, which I think is crazy, but that's just what they do. Mm. But they got those like heat lamps on the side. Like, they got the big coats. Like,
yeah,
I don't think it's going to be as big of an impact. Like, players may drop a pass or two, but like, I don't see it being like this crazy weather game the way people are talking about it.
No. Josh Allen said he's not going to wear sleeves, or at least he doesn't want to because
fumbling.
Yeah, right? The ball sticks to the skin better than it does to like a slick sleeve. So, okay.
From that guy, like Mr. Fumbled.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I trust his theories on this, but you know, whatever makes him comfortable, I guess.
All right. So let's get to some hockey things at the top here, because you know what? I said a thing yesterday that I got not a lot, like 2 or 3 tweets about. But I'm like, you know what? What are 98% of Sabre fans also Bills fans? So like, yeah, they're not going to mind a bonus episode here. But then I got like again, only like 2 or 3 guys that responded like, no, I'm a Sabre fan, but not a Bills fan. Okay, good. Actually, you know what? I should know better than anybody. My brother is a Sabre fan and not a Bills fan. He's a very special circumstance. But But anyways, so we'll talk a little bit about that Bills game a little bit later on, but I do have some hockey stuff planned for today. Jordan, we have not had you on since Rasmus Dahlin was named an NHL All-Star. Now, every team gets one NHL All-Star. So I'll start with Dahlin against Thompson, because Thompson was second. Did you think Dahlin was at least close enough to being as deserving as Thompson, where it wasn't a huge deal?
Yeah, I was totally fine with giving it to Dahlin. I think Dahlin is like the engine of the team. I think Tage Thompson's been the best story for the Sabres this year. I would have been fine either way, but I really think like Dahlin is more of like the, right now at least, the all-star caliber player for the Sabres.
He also would probably benefit more just like that confidence boost that it could give him, just being around those guys. That was something I thought of right away. Like, is Dahlin going to come back? Like, yeah, I'm like, and he's going to kind of put it to fruition on the ice. Like, I was just hanging around Ovechkin and McKinnon and McDavid. Like, yeah, I belong in that class. And maybe he comes back with more confidence. I don't know. I'm working hard to make it any sort of value.
Well, and I saw something. I don't know if you saw. The thing that was making its rounds, the most overrated players in the league?
No, I missed that.
Well, I don't know if the list was credible or not. I forget what the source was. But it was like Dahlin was not on there. And I would have thought that he might have been on there because he was drafted so high and he hasn't been that good. But I think players around the league think he's pretty good. I don't know why. I just like I don't really have much to base it on. But I do think like I think his reputation among the league around the league is better than the one maybe even in the fan base.
Okay. I could see that because the point totals are that high. He does make these plays here and there that you see on highlight reels and yeah, the draft status that goes along with it. So that's actually, it's a good theory. Thompson now, actually before we get to Thompson, Nathan McKinnon made a very, very interesting comment that I agreed with that I wanted to just pass along here on the show. McKinnon was upset that Nazem Kadri did not get named an NHL All-Star, despite the fact that he is, I think, like sixth in the NHL in points scored. But everyone only got, I think, like one, maybe two. Some teams got two going into the All-Star game. McKinnon said, "It's silly. I don't think every team should send a guy. It's an All-Star game, not a participation game. I think our team should have had five or six guys." He also went on to mention the Avalanche did not deserve an All-Star in 2017 when he went to the game. So, I don't know. What do you think of McKinnon's thoughts on this?
I think that's probably true. Like, I don't think, like, every team should get a guy. I like that Dahlin's in it. It makes me want to watch the All-Star game more, which I think is what their plan is. I think that's what their goal is. Why do they have it be a participation game? It's because they want every fan base to watch. Like, if the Senators don't get a player, they'd be less likely to watch. Then you just lose an entire market. Yeah. So it's like, I understand McKinnon's point. I think he's right, too, that you should just pick the best players. But, like, it's not just a game for – I would just say, like, the counter-argument is not just a game so people can watch the Avalanche play.
Right. It would be the Avalanche against the Lightning.
Yeah. It's just, like, that's not fun either.
Yeah.
So it's, like – also, the NHL All-Star game, like, I think they did a good job with this tournament, but the tournament would be so much better if they did pick up, like, if they were drafting. Like, it would just be – if you combine the two elements, it would just make the game so much better.
Yeah. So now we've got this last man in vote, though. So the NHL holds another All-Star vote now that we have a roster. One more player in each of the divisions. So the Sabres, after they had kind of been campaigning for Dahlin to be the guy to make it as the original All-Star. Now that we're at last man in, the Sabres are launching a full social media campaign to get Tage into the All-Star game. And did you see the campaign slogan for Thompson to make it to the All-Star game? It is Tall Star, hashtag Tall Star. And they're literally just photoshopping Tage Thompson next to the Eiffel Tower. They are what are the other ones? They're photoshopping Tage Thompson. I'm showing it for our video audience here as well. Next to Godzilla.
Why?
And they're also photoshopping him next to the Statue of Liberty with, you know why, because he's a hashtag tall star. So what do you make of the Sabres social media?
Oh, because he's literally tall.
Because he's like 6'7", yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, boy.
Is this good? Is this bad? Is this corny?
I
mean,
he's not gonna, I don't think it's going to get him more votes.
You don't?
No.
I appreciate the effort.
I wonder if do you think, like, I don't think the Sabres fans are passionate enough right now to get him to beat. I think like the competition is like Marchand.
Like, oh yeah, no,
for the Atlantic.
So it's Stamkos, not I think. Marchand got in, and but yeah, but I'll read
McAvoy.
Off.
McAvoy, it's McAvoy, right?
There's a bunch. Okay, yeah. So these are the guys that are the last man in nominees for the Atlantic Division. Thompson.
Okay.
We'll play it this way. You tell me if Thompson's more deserving than this guy to make the All-Star game.
With his
Thompson
23 points.
Yeah. Charlie McAvoy, who has 22 points as a defenseman, by the way.
Yeah. McAvoy.
Thompson or Lucas Raymond of Detroit, who has 30 points and leads his team.
Lucas Raymond.
Thompson or Alexander Barkov.
Alexander Barkov.
This one, I think, is Thompson. Thompson or Tyler Toffoli for Montreal. 5 goals, 17 points.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yeah,
Thompson or Brady Tkachuk, who's got the exact same goal total and point total, 12 goals, 11 assists.
I mean, both our teams are bad. Yeah. No, I don't think anything's been big there.
Thompson or Steven Stamkos.
Steven Stamkos.
Who leads Tampa in goals scored and points, 18 goals and 45 points. And Thompson or John Tavares is the last one.
Oh, or John Tavares. I assume he's playing well.
Maybe he outranks one or two guys in the Atlantic. He's not getting in.
No, no. I mean, there's huge names on there, too.
Yeah.
Also, like, to be honest, like, I would be very tempted just to put Lucas Raymond in just because it would be cool.
Mm. I would guess it's going to be Barkov or Stamkos, though.
Barkov or Stamkos? Not John
Tavares? That's my guess. No. He's been a little bit worse than Stamkos this year. Barkov's an elite centerman. Yeah, I would go the other two over two.
That makes I think that makes it really interesting. How many defensemen does the Atlantic team have right now?
That is a good.
Is it just Dahlin and Hedman?
It's no. There's got to be somebody else. Let's see. The Atlantic Division All-Star roster also had
Morgan Rielly, maybe.
Adam, nope, that's the Metro. It is just Dahlin and Hedman.
They're probably going to only have two defensemen.
Unless McAvoy does get in there. Yeah. Remember, it's 3-on-3.
No, it doesn't really matter either. But
yeah. Well, Dahlin, second best defenseman in the Atlantic by that
there logic. There
we go. All right, one more hockey thing I've got coming back. I had a hot take. It's a hockey hot take, but it wasn't a Sabre hot take. So I want to bring that to everyone's attention when we come back just to talk about that. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Bills-Patriots game Saturday night. That's coming up here in the Locked On Sabres podcast. It's the new year, so that means a new year's resolution. If it's yours, is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. They're 100% covered in chocolate, great flavors, coconut brownies, got pieces of brownie in it, cookie dough's got actual pieces of cookie dough in it, but they're healthy. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Better than a protein bar as well, which can feel chalky and just have that weird aftertaste. Go to built.com now. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. John Scott. Speaking of NHL All-Stars, my favorite NHL All-Star of all time, former Buffalo Sabre, he posed a question on social media on Friday. Here's a question. How many generational talent players are in the NHL right now? So before I unveil what my answer was that got people fired up, I did not get ratioed, though. I will say that. I did not get ratioed on Twitter. Only 39 comments to 60 likes. So more people agreed with it than were upset with it. But still a little hot takey. But before my answer on that, just hearing that off the cusp here, like how many generational talent players in the NHL, like what does your mind start going to?
I think there's one.
Ooh. See, we're going to think alike here. To me, that's how I treated it. If generational to me means once in a generation. So if you're not the best of your generation, I'm not really sure I could call you generational.
You actually, know? Yeah. Because, no, yeah, one. And I have a good argument for why one.
Who's your one?
McDavid.
Yes. I had McDavid as a generational talent.
So, and the reason I'm not, yeah. Like, I think... I remember your tweet, and I was thinking about it too because okay. I thought it was a good topic. You said Ovechkin, right?
I said McDavid and Ovechkin. I had two generational talents, yeah.
And my thought with Ovechkin is, for the longest time, it was him and many other players that were all really good. So it's like, can it just be Ovechkin? My dog is really upset about this too.
She's upset. Yeah, she's like, what?
She's like, you didn't add Eichel in there? She was a big Eichel fan.
Yeah, this is a dog participation show right now.
Yeah, right? I mean, they want to be involved in the great debate. But, yeah, like, I don't think I could even put Ovechkin in there because for the longest time, it was him and Crosby toe-to-toe.
Yeah. So, I guess my reasoning for also including Ovechkin along with McDavid is I consider Ovechkin to be the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Okay.
And so what essentially I did was I went with your McDavid logic. You got to be the best of your generation. You got to be the number one because I'm only putting one in by that merit. So McDavid. And then I, to me, would have an exemption for a guy that is the best of all time at something. But it's got to be something important. Like it can't be, oh, he's the best. He's best at shorthanded goals.
Because save percentage or something like that, like – the guys modern time are just to have a better save percentage.
Yeah, he's the best shootout shooter of all time. Like, no, Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer
in the history, not Alex Kolek,
generational talent. Yes or no? Alex Ovechkin is the best goal scorer, in my opinion, in the history of the sport. So to me, I would want to give him an exemption as to being labeled a generational talent as well.
I kind of like it, but then it's like,
then the Crosby
like it opens mad. Up. It opens up like the great players. Like then you have the like Crosby. Like I thought about Patrick Kane. Like I thought about guys like that where they were like there was a time where they were maybe the best. Like yeah. I don't know. Like there is. Then you look at like McKinnon or Cale Makar and stuff like that. Victor Hedman, even like these guys are amazing players, but they're not generational. There are like. No. A lot of great defensemen. There are a lot of great forwards.
Yeah. So, like, Crosby. See, the thing about putting Ovechkin is then everybody, like, that of the 39 comments I got on that tweet, I think all of them were Crosby. One, well, actually, you know what? One or two were Cale Makar. And I'm open to that. I watched that Colorado and Arizona game last night. I bet the Coyotes on the money line. Oh, my God. What a ride. They made the shootout and lost. Makar is just. That dude, outside of McDavid, he is the funnest player I've ever watched in my life. Like any era of hockey that I've watched, he is just awesome. But it's too soon. It's too soon. He's not even definitively, I think, the best defenseman in hockey. I would call him the best defenseman in hockey, but I think you can make a real case that it's Adam Fox. So if it's even debatable to me that he's not the best defenseman right now, you can't call him generational. He might get there. Yeah. But I'm not there yet with him. Everyone else was Crosby. Everybody else was Crosby. And it's how can you put Ovechkin in and not Crosby? To me, that opens up a debate we don't often see in hockey. Basketball and football are usually the sports where we debate legacy, where we compare Jordan to LeBron, where we compare Montana to Brady. That one has kind of been gone away a little bit because just Brady's kind of run away with it, it seems. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning versus Brady. Like we have legacy debates in other sports. We don't really often have that with hockey. The one that we've sometimes had is Crosby versus Ovechkin. And I think Crosby started to run away with that. And I've always wondered, is Ovechkin starting to make a comeback just because of the goal record? And he got his cup. and he's trending towards the goal record, and you can definitively say, well, you can say he's the best goal scorer of all time. He's the best of all time at something. And to me, that's why I would have Ovechkin above him in terms of legacy and in terms of generational talent, because he just simply is the best of all time at something. And I'm not here to tell you that Sidney Crosby is not an all-time great, but Sidney Crosby is not the best at all time to me at anything.
Okay, yeah. And like the other question I had was like, how many generational talents have there been?
Ever?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good question too. So let's work our way backwards. We can play this game. We can play this out. Let's work our way back.
So you have McDavid, right?
Let's just start with McDavid.
We'll leave and I wouldn't have Eichel in there at all.
No. He was a generational draft talent, I think is what he was.
Yeah, and he's still a great player, but it's like
there's a difference
between great and generational.
Yes. Right. Yeah. We've gotten too loose with the term, I think.
That's what I mean too, because like generational comes from literally the phrase once in a generation.
Yeah.
So you can only have one.
Mm-hmm. What about let's play this out though. How many? Is it gonna be less than 10? There might be.
McDavid.
How about,
and if we're using yours, we'll say Ovechkin.
Ovechkin. Hasek.
Is he?
Come on, he's gotta be.
I love him. But like he played in the era of Brodeur and Waugh. He's three.
He's better than both of them.
No, I agree. I agree. He's better than both of them. But is he that much better than both of them?
I would fight.
I think he is. I think he is too. I'm just saying. It's like if you're talking about generational,
is he the best goalie in NHL history?
Yes,
he's got to be generational. He's got to be generational.
So necessarily.
All right, well, let's leave Hasek. I can't believe I even got a fight on Hasek.
I love Hasek, but I'm just saying, like, Patrick Waugh is really good, too.
Well, then, by that logic, is Gretzky generational? Because Lemieux.
Well, Gretzky, yeah. I mean, he's so much better than Lemieux.
Mario Lemieux.
Well, I was going to go to Lemieux next. I think Lemieux is.
But see, now you're fight. I got you on the Hasek logic.
I'll give you Hasek.
If you're gonna put Lemieux and Gretzky in, then I'm gonna want you to put Waugh and Hasek in. Although I don't
Hasek's want on my Mount Rushmore. I love Hasek.
Is that the better argument? The hockey no. Rushmore.
The hockey Rushmore. Mount Rushmore is maybe like the worst sports top time.
I love it.
Yeah, there will be four.
All right, so you've got what? Lemieux and all right, you do yours and I'll do mine.
I have McDavid.
Okay.
Lemieux.
Okay.
Gretzky.
Mm-hmm. Any defenseman? Bobby Orr?
That might be it, yo.
No defenseman?
I don't think so.
Not Bobby Orr.
Is he the best defenseman ever?
I think so. Isn't he?
I mean, Nick Lindstrom was pretty good.
Bobby Orr's like fourth all time in points per game.
Okay,
he had 124 points. I'll do 139 points. I'll do mine. I'll do mine, and then you see where you disagree.
What about Gordie Howe? Three played for like 50 years.
Would you do Gordie Howe? Are you about to call him a compiler?
No, he was really good.
I'll do mine, and then you tell me if you want to add anybody because you've got three guys right now.
It's once in a generation, right? Like, isn't that what it means? Like, it's supposed to be like this remarkable thing.
And but you have two guys in the same generation.
Well, kind of.
No, that they're the same, aren't they?
Lemieux played in the 90s. He played in 2002.
Okay, Gretzky played until 1997.
Yeah, that's just because hockey players play for a long time.
Okay, wait a minute. Lemieux's first season was
84. I would say Lemieux's prime was different than Gretzky's prime.
I might want to disagree with that. Okay. Gretzky's first NHL season was 79-80.
I just want to
Lemieux's
put them both
first
in.
Season was 84-85. There was a five-year difference.
I just get mad because I think Mario Lemieux gets forgotten a lot.
And he does.
Think, like, he is literally one of the best hockey players. He is like he's the second best hockey player ever.
Here's mine. I would go McDavid and Ovechkin.
Okay.
I would go Hasek. I would go... Ooh, do I want any other defensemen in between there? I thought about Lidstrom, but I'm not going to put Lidstrom in there. Lemieux. Gretzky. Bobby Orr. Gordie Howe. And...
You need a pioneer.
I part of me wants to put Mike Bossy in. best goal scorer.
So that's still Gretzky era. So Gretzky era had three generational talents, three once in a generations.
Well, you had two. Just saying.
No, I know.
My debate on Bossy is, to me, pre Ovechkin, he's the best goal scorer of all time. But I don't know. I just said you got to be the best at all time at something. Can you be the best of all time at something when you were playing? Because when he was playing and he scored, I mean, Mike Bossy, I didn't watch him play, obviously. I was born 8 years after he retired. But just looking at the numbers, watching some of like his highlights going back, look at the goal totals. The guy only played 10 years. 53, this is his goal totals by year. 53, 69, 51, 68, 64, 60, 51, 58, 61, and 38. That's it. Then he retires. Like, I might want to put Mike Bossy in there too. I think I'm done. No, okay. One more. Ken Dryden. Ken Dryden is the best goaltender of all time before Hasek.
Okay.
I think he's the second best goaltender of all time. So I would go working now from the old to the new. Dryden, Hall. Nope, not Hall. Sorry. Dryden, Howe, Gretzky, Bossy, Lemieux, Hasek, McDavid, Ovechkin. I think that's where I want to leave it. And Orr. I miss Bobby Orr.
To be honest, I think you could make the case that it is literally just Gretzky and McDavid.
But see, okay, yeah, okay.
Because if you're taking the term, looking at it now, like, yeah, you're right. I probably shouldn't even include Lemieux because, unfortunately for him, he was not the best in his generation.
That's Mickelson.
Yeah. I think that's a bad comparison.
Okay.
It would be like if he was just like a slightly lesser version of Tiger.
He's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. But yeah, like if you're thinking about the term, that's what it would be, is that it's a couple guys. But I like yours better because you are honoring players that should get honored. Like I don't have a problem with any of those players. They're all like top 10 players of all time.
And I'm going positionally too. Like I want it. There's got to be at least one defenseman.
Right.
One goalie to me. But I don't know. By your logic too, you would have like a Dick Clapper on there that played in the 20s or something.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about it in terms of like a way, like if you're doing generational talent, like every 20 years you have the best player. So like,
ooh, I kind of like that. That rule of thumb. Every 20 years, who's the best player?
So like this 20 years, we can start this one like 2010 to present going forward, and McDavid. That would be McDavid. Yes. And then before 2010, it's Ovechkin, or is it Hasek? 1990 to 2010.
You could go Lemieux there if you want to work them both in. You could go Lemieux as the best player 90 to 2010.
So Hasek's not a generational talent.
But he's a goalie. Is goalie a separate category? I don't know.
If we could do like
this, no, you know what?
Hours, and you could say like you could just have the best goalie of all time is a generational talent.
Hasek in 05-06, Hasek led the league in save percentage.
He's amazing. He's amazing. Top.
You know what? No, I want to go Hasek. Hasek's the best hockey player from 1990 to 2010. That really is. That's his career too. His first season with Chicago is in 90 to 91, and his final season is 07-08.
That's amazing. Dude played in 2008.
And then he played like 6 years in the KHL after. Do you remember the rumor? There was a rumor in like 2013-14 when he was like 48 years old that he called Darcy Regier about wanting to return to the NHL.
That's awesome.
I think
he wanted to play for us?
I think he probably would have just played for anybody, but he probably just went back on his relationships. Yeah, I'll try to look that up because I'm pretty sure I remember that happening. Yeah, here it is. Real quick, I'm just going to share this real quick with our viewing audience from an NBC article in July of 2012. So this is 4 years after he retired. Sabres GM confirms he turned down Dominic Hasek's comeback offer.
Why would he do that to us?
Regeer said he was excited. I think it's tremendous. He'll be 47 at the start of the season. I hope he finds a team to play with. I would love to see him back in the league, and hopefully he would play well in the Western Conference. Hash agent insists the Dominator believes wholeheartedly in his ability to come back and that he's better than most NHL backups.
That's Wait, a way agent, to come back into the league. Agent called him the Dominator?
The Dominator, yeah. And he also said he's better than most NHL backups.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
At 47, I bet he was still better than most backups.
In fact, wait, this is continuing reading on. Wow, what an article this is. In fact, reports are circulating that the relatively ancient goalie wants more than a one-year deal.
Relatively ancient.
Wait, he's trying to come back and he's demanding more than a one-year deal?
I love him.
Oh, my God.
He can do what he wants.
They could have had Hasek as Miller's backup.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. Bring him back now.
I know.
We're out of goalies.
I think he's probably done now.
All right. We'll take a timeout here, and we'll talk some football when we come back. A little bonus segment here. So for our couple listeners that are not Bills fans, this might be your time to log off, sadly. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year. As we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond, BetOnline remains the number one spot for all your sports wagering action for 2022, new year, and a new updated website and mobile website. To sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus and your first deposit, just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. I have a parlay going, a same-game parlay for Bills and Patriots. Is Bills to cover the spread, -4.5, and Reggie Gilliam to score a touchdown.
Oh, my God.
Plus big money, 10 to win 190 on that one. I wanted a long shot. So
Reggie Gilliam.
How nervous are you going to this game? And by the way, like the better question is, like, what are you most fearful of? Because to me, the way I've been looking at that all week, there's not a tangible thing on the field that I look at in New England and I'm really that fearful of. The fear in New England is just the aftermath. If you were to lose to them, what that will feel like. That's the fear to me.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is, like, it would just stink for 8 months to hear about how much better the Patriots are than us. Mm-hmm. After 20 years of dealing with that and then having to deal with it again, it would just be awful. But besides that, I don't really have anything that I can think of. Like, I don't think you can question nobody can question a quarterback. Nobody can question any of that. And it's like, we should just win. We should just, we have the better team. Like, I think in almost every spot, even our pass rush has gotten a lot better over the past few weeks. Different pass rush. Like, I don't think they have much that's better than us. Run game. Like, I think our run game is just as good as theirs now.
Yeah, actually, I had some stats on that earlier in the week. Since week 11, New England has allowed the third most rushing yards per attempt on defense, and the Bills have gained the fourth most rushing yards per attempt on offense. So it's like one of the hottest running games in the league, honestly, in the Bills, as funny as that is to say right now, versus one of the worst rushing defenses in the league going. Like, New England's defense on the overall is great because their pass defense is elite. Like, it's number two, really, to the Bills all year. But their run – this is why I don't really fear much about them, because their run defense kind of stinks, and their pass defense is amazing, but Allen picked them apart in Foxborough, so we know that he's capable, despite how good they are. So if that's how this goes, if Singletary and Allen are able to run the ball and Diggs is able to get open against J.C. Jackson, like, I just don't really know what big advantage New England has over the Bills roster.
The only thing that can make it bad is if the Bills turn the ball over. That's the only thing I can think of is if they make mistakes, which could happen. Patriots are usually good at forcing them. I mean, heck, the Week 16 game, if J.C. Jackson catches that ball, totally different football game. So it's like, that's just what it's going to come down to. The Bills just have to execute and just not be terrible. Like, that's kind of what they did against the Ravens last year. Is like, it wasn't a great game, it wasn't like a awesome performance, but they didn't make the mistakes and the Ravens did, and that's why they won. So it's like, that's what I'm guessing is going to happen. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we just beat the crap out of them. Yeah. Like, to be honest, like there is a likelihood that they just win by 35-14.
Yeah.
And like and I don't think it could happen the other way. I don't think the Patriots can do that to us.
No, look at the Week 13 game with the crazy wind. New England had everything going for them in that game. They had the wind, which allowed them to play an extremist version of run-heavy football, only throwing the ball three times with Jones. They got Allen to miss on a couple of throws again because of the wind. They got ahead in that game, which allowed them to play the game script they like. And despite all that, look how slim their margin for error was. If there's a pass interference call against the New England corner that is holding Dawson Knox in the end zone in the fourth quarter, Bills win that football game. Mm-hmm. If Allen's back shoulder throw to Diggs on second and goal before they end up missing the field goal by Tyler Bassett, the wind, if you saw the back at camera angle on that one play, Allen to Diggs from like the 6 yard line, back shoulder, the wind pushes it like not much, but like a foot. And it's a foot outside of Diggs' grasp. If the wind gust doesn't come that exact moment, Diggs maybe gets his hand on it and the Bills win that football game. If the wind doesn't push the ball on that deep ball from Allen to Diggs, and he doesn't lose it in the lights, the Bills win that football game. Like, to me, the New England won that game with the exact style that they want to play, an extreme version of it, and their margin for error was this slim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, like you're saying, like, I can't see them winning 35-21. Mac Jones, it's kind of a funny stat, but he's got the lowest QBR in the NFL since winter started.
That doesn't bode well for him.
So there are two points there that I'm not generally the guy to make these, because I don't fully believe in like these being true. These are more like Skip Bayless-y points, if you know what I mean. He either is just very uncomfortable in the cold weather. That might not be very Skip Bayless. That might be accurate. The coldest game he's ever played in, I looked it up, was at Arkansas in the SEC, and it was 38 degrees.
Yeah.
38 degrees warmer than it's going to be tonight. That's the coldest game ever.
The thing it could be, too, is people just have a blueprint on them now. Like, yeah. I think the Patriots, the problem with the Patriots, they're so limited with what they can do. They have their bread and butter plays. They love their toss sweeps and stuff. And the receivers also limit what they can do. They don't have like burners. You got Kendrick Bourne, who's like, maybe we'll take a shot somewhere, but like, they don't really have a vertical passing game.
No. Jonnu Smith was supposed to help them in that. He doesn't exist.
Yeah. They're like death by 1,000 paper cuts, right? Like, that's kind of what they do. And they rely on their defense and they play smart. To their credit, like, they got here because they don't make many mistakes. Like, they limit everything. And I think that's if the Bills play their game, they should not lose. It's just simply put, like, if we control the pace, we control the way type of game the Patriots have to play, I don't think they can play with us.
This is the more the Skip Bayless-y point, is Mac Jones is rattled. Because he watched his team win a football game against a great team where he literally didn't play. Like, he just three pass attempts.
He hasn't really been good since that moment. I don't think he's had a good game. I mean, the Jaguars game where they killed him, but like.
Yeah, right. He went 22 of 30, 227, and three touchdowns against Jacksonville. But other than the Colts and the Bills, everybody's had an easy time with Jacksonville this year. But yeah, even Miami, he was okay, but not great. Miami, he was pretty good, actually. 261, 8.7 yards per attempt.
He had that pick six, though. Like, the pick six was terrible.
Yeah, the pick six. Right, the pick six lost in the football game. Yeah. Inevitably, because they lost by three. They lost by
they would have been. They would be going to Cincy right now.
Right.
They won.
The Colts game, he wasn't great. He had the two bad picks in that game. We know the Bills game in Foxborough looked like he couldn't do anything. That's the other thing that needs to be pointed out here. Not only has Mac Jones been struggling, the Bills defense has not allowed any quarterback to go off on them this year. Like, Brady had a good game, but he wasn't nuts.
No, in that game, even right? Pat Mahomes like couldn't. He had one of his worst games.
Yeah,
against the Bills.
And then, like, even look at the games they lost. But Roethlisberger didn't do anything in the Pittsburgh loss.
Carson Wentz handed the ball off a lot.
Yeah, he didn't do anything in that game. Trevor Lawrence didn't do anything. If anything, CJ Beathard made the biggest throw against the Bills in that game. Remember that, like, late at the end of the first half, like over the top.
My God. I don't want to think about that game again.
The Bills Jaguars game. No,
cost us the one seed.
In 10 years, we could look back and be like, "How the hell did we lose to Urban Meyer?" It'll be a great trivia question in the future that they lost to Urban Meyer, but it's definitely not that. So yeah, like anyways, the Bills pass defense is so good. Like Zach Wilson last week, rookie quarterbacks, McDermott's record, like their track record is just so good that I just don't see any way that if New England wins, Mac Jones is any big part of it.
I think it's good for us though that we're still nervous. Like I think it's good to have that feeling. Like the nervous feeling I think is good. I don't think I ever want to be in a game where I'm like the Bills are just gonna blow the doors off this team. Because I don't think we're gonna blow the door. I think it's gonna be close. I think it's gonna be within a touchdown at the end. But I do like our chances. I just think like the home field advantage is gonna be big. Like last year in the playoffs, like we played the Colts in front of like 8,000 people. Like it's a different game. And it's like a rookie quarterback and the weather is cold, but that's it. It's just cold.
Can you name the three quarterbacks that have thrown for 250 or more against the Bills this year?
250, Brady.
Brady, 363 with overtime.
250.
This is tough.
Tannehill?
Tannehill got to 216. He's fourth.
Okay, so it wasn't Tannehill.
That's another one. They lost that game. Tannehill in that game, 18 of 29, 216 yards and an interception. 5.9 yards per – no, sorry, 7 yards per
– That game, I still can't believe we lost that game.
Me neither.
It still blows my mind.
We were QB sneak away from the one seed.
I know. That hurts. That hurts a lot.
Mahomes also threw for 272.
And then that was – Mahomes is going to be my next guess. And then – I want to say it was...
It's a funny one.
It's not like Heinicke, is it?
Heinicke got to 212.
Not Davis Mills.
Nope, Mills 87. 87.
It's like a really funny one, like one of the really bad quarterbacks we play against.
Yeah, it's funnier even than Mills.
Is it Matty Ice?
No, he got to 197.
Who are the bad, like, really bad players that we played?
He had a 400-yard passing game before playing the Bills.
400 yards.
But he didn't finish the year as his team starter.
He had 400 yards against the Bills? No, before
playing the Bills.
Oh my gosh, he didn't finish as a starter.
Nope. In fact,
it's an AFC team.
It's an AFC team. Yep. He didn't finish the game against the Bills, but he got the 250. He threw 4 interceptions, 251, 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Oh, I know who it is. It's Michael White.
Mike White threw for 251.
They just kept chucking it around. That game. Yeah. Like we were up by like 50 and they were just, that guy was just throwing it every play.
12 passing touchdowns they allowed all year. 12. 2 from Brady, 2 from Mahomes, 2 from Heinicke, and then 1 from Roethlisberger, Simeon, Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, Zach Wilson, and Joe Flacco.
Part of me thinks that the Bills have faced just the right amount of adversity to win the Super Bowl. I think the only way the Bills win the Super Bowl is if things go horribly wrong beforehand so they can torture us one last time before they let us enjoy the great joys of victory. I don't know. Like I think it's going to be I just like to enjoy the ride now. Like I mean, after all the years of living in obscurity and having no games that mattered, like we get games that matter, and I'm supposed to be like stressed out and upset about it. Oh, we're playing the Patriots. Woe is me. Like, got to play them at some point.
All right, Bills and Patriots. How are you going to watch?
It's at my house upstairs in the solitude of my own.
Oh, wow. You're going to be sheltered off.
I like just the Bills time is Bills time. I don't tweet as much as I should. I know. You know, like it's just like I don't like the. I like to watch the game. I get enough.
All right. Well, everyone enjoy the game. The Sabres do play tonight. We should probably mention that.
You can watch the Sabres. You'll definitely get the first period in.
Yes.
And some of the second. I think some of the second, too, before the Bills start.
Right.
I'll have it on. I'm going to have two TVs going.
I'll have two TVs going as well. I'm going to have Bengals, Raiders, and Sabres, Red Wings going at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I'll have the Sabres on the screen, too.
Bengals. Would the Patriots have rather played the Bengals?
No. No, yes, they would have. Yes, they would have.
I think they would have. I think the Bengals are. I think the Bengals are a little bit overhyped. I think they might lose today.
Really? Yes. I think the Raiders, though, stink.
I don't think they stink. I don't think they stink.
They had a negative 65 point differential.
The argument like that I would make.
One of the worst point differentials by any playoff team ever.
The argument that I would make for the Raiders is that they might have like played their best game already. Like they just might be shot. Like after you play that game, are you just gonna turn around short week and be like ready to go?
Were they that great against the Chargers?
They're pretty. Like, they played well.
Carr was good, not great even. He was good, but like
they had a good game plan, run it down their throat.
They let them. They should not have even been close to losing.
No, I mean you give up 10 fourth and tens.
Yeah, I know. And a touchdown at the buzzer. Like you didn't know that ball was going to the end zone. I just think what it is. They're defensive coaching. That's why I can't see them winning.
Their offensive coaching is actually pretty good. I think they make the most out of a lot of players. Like Zay Jones is like an impact player. How did that happen?
That's nuts. It's nuts to me that happened.
Hunter Renfro is an excellent player though.
Their defensive coaching. Credit. I think defensive coaching has just been mindless this season. The two Chief games, they lost 48-9 and 41-14. You know what was different about those two games? The Raiders were the only team all season that did not play that too high safety shell look everyone's been talking about against Kansas City. Like they had watched, and remember, they played Kansas City early on when they were struggling. They had watched everybody been limiting them, limiting the Chiefs to like 25 or less points with this defense. And the Raiders go, you know what? We're going to try the thing we used to try. We're going to go back to it. The one high safety, like we'll give them the deep ball. And then the Chiefs lit them up for 90 points in two games. And like, how did you not ever make an adjustment on that? And then the Charger game with all the fourth downs, not knowing that ball was going to go to the end zone. I don't know how they stopped Joe Burrow. I guess that's why I would pick the Bengals.
Yeah.
I think Burrow's going to throw for 700 yards in this game.
The other one I love. I mean, if we're doing a little bet online, action here. Like I love the Steelers to stay within 12 and a half. I love that.
Steelers to stay within 12 and a half. I don't like that. I don't like that.
You don't like the Steelers, but no. Here's my, like the, when the Steelers played the Chiefs, TJ Watt played half the game.
Okay.
And I think the Chiefs, I don't think the Chiefs O-line is as good as people think it is. I think the Chiefs O-line kind of stinks. If the Steelers can get to Mahomes, like kind of like the Bills did, that creates problems. And their defense is good. Like the Steelers have a good defense. They just like all they need to do is hold the Chiefs to like 20 points, and then maybe score once.
Yeah,
and they stay within 12.
I just, it's they don't run it well. They don't stop the run. Their defense was like 25th in the league. Their defense has a great reputation.
I don't know why. It's a gut thing. I just like, I don't think the Steelers are going to get killed in Big Ben's last game.
I think Steeler fans are going to be debating after the game whether they would have rather missed the playoffs and had Roethlisberger's lasting memory been winning against Baltimore. Like having the Colts win and like, all right, Big Ben wins his final game instead of just getting obliterated by Kansas City.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I was kind of rooting for chaos in that Baltimore game. I was, you know what I was rooting for? I'm like, you know what would be funny here? If Roethlisberger in overtime right now against Baltimore in OT throws a pick six for the season to be over, would he retire? No. Like, would that change his mind? If he was going to retire and he threw a pick six,
I want him to retire.
Would he retire on a pick six? I think some guys would come back just to erase that, wouldn't they?
No, I need him out. I can't watch him anymore. And By the way, have him on national TV anymore.
It should be said, well, watch, he's going to go to CBS, sit next to Cowher. it should be said here, Roethlisberger's never really said he's retiring. He's just said it was his final, he knows it's his final game at Heinz Field. I'm telling you, I could see a Washington, a Denver,
calling Big Ben
for a training camp and being like, hey, buddy, we couldn't find anybody. You want to play one more year? Elway calls up. You think Elway is going to call up Big Ben and be like, hey, buddy, you got one more in you?
Aaron Rodgers said he didn't want to come anymore, so yeah. I need you.
I'm telling you, I don't discount that. I think he could get roped into one of these teams. Oh, Washington fits too, I think. I could just see him in Washington.
I can't see him playing anymore. Last year he cried because he got lost, and then he came back for one more. I can't imagine he plays again. I can't imagine he does this to us again.
I want to see pick sixes today so that it makes him want to come back. So we can.
The other one I like is the Eagles to stay within the number.
The Eagles? I like that one too. It's going to be rainy. Yeah. Tampa's missing. Well, they don't have Antonio Brown anymore.
I think the Eagles actually, their offense is not terrible. They score points.
It's okay. Yeah. Now that they've decided that they're like a good running team and like figured that out, yeah, they've been good.
Yeah. Right. I also like the Rams, but
we should say a quick thing on the Sabres Red Wings matchup. the Red Wings have been good this year. We just mentioned Lucas Raymond a little bit earlier in the show. We both like him. The Sabres lines for this game going to look largely the same. You got Tuck with Cousins and Skinner, Asplund with Jankowski and Olofsson, Hino Stroza with Girgensons and Okposo. I would imagine Michael Hauser gets the start in net. We don't know that yet. Dell did well the other night, though, in Nashville. So he maybe earned another start. So we'll see if Dell goes in for them. And the Red Wings, I'm looking now, have not announced who their starting goaltender is going to be tonight. Could be Thomas Greiss. He has not played in a couple of games, so he would be my guess. But if it's not him, Alex Nedeljkovic, who's been really strong for them as their starting goaltender this season. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop. Again, we'll talk about that game next week because I'm going to be glued into the Bills game tonight for sure. We'll have to watch that back a little bit later. All right. Enjoy the games tonight. Thanks everybody for listening and making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen. Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. We'll talk to you next week here on the Locked On Sabres podcast.